You know, today we're talking about resurrection. In fact, it's a whole season right now. I guess we refer to it as Easter, but biblically speaking, we're talking about Passover. Is that right? We're talking about the season of Passover, and today specifically, it's the Resurrection Sunday. Can you say amen? I want to encourage you today, and by the end of this message, I want to come out of here with a sense of awe of God. I want to see God in the Scriptures. I want to see the resurrected Christ. I want to see the hope of the resurrected body that we have. Amen? Amen. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was walking with two of the disciples on the road of Emmaus, right? And what did he say to them? Beginning with Moses and the prophets and all the Scriptures, it is written of me, Jesus saying that. Do you remember that verse? Let me take you to a very familiar verse that everybody knows. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Can you quote it even without looking? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want to ask you a question today. What is the beginning? What is beginning? Is it time? Some time past in eternity. So we have here, in the beginning, right somewhere in eternity past, God created the heavens and the earth. The question is, what is the beginning? The beginning. What is the word beginning? I just want to share a few thoughts here to sort of bring it to a climax towards the end. But the word beginning here is the word reshit, okay? All right, so in the beginning in Hebrew, it's in the reshit. Everybody say, try and say it, reshit. Okay, right. Now, I want to kind of give you a quick meaning of what it means. The reshit means first, in place, time, order, or rank. It simply means it's the beginning, it's the first, it's the captain, it's the chief, it's the principal thing, it's the head thing, the number one thing, the beginning of something. You say amen? Can you understand this? So in the beginning, the head or the start, the first thing, right in the beginning, okay? Now, I want to sort of read Leviticus chapter 23 here. I'm going to read from verse 4. And because of this season that we're in, I want you to see something wonderful, the risen Lord, like never before. I want to get out of here encouraged that we have a resurrection, not just in spirit, but in body also, and all because of Jesus. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 4 to 11, it says this, "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month is twilight, is the Lord Passover." Okay, Passover speaks of the lamb that was slain. Amen. Then verse 6, "On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread." What does bread speak of in the Bible? We've just taken Holy Communion. We break the bread. What does that mean? We break what? His body that was broken. Can you say amen? The Bible, Jesus says, "I am the bread that comes from heaven, that unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood," you remember that? "Unless you partake of me, the bread of life, you would have no life." So who do you think he's talking about when he's talking about the bread? Jesus as the bread that comes from heaven. Can you say amen? Are you following with me so far? It says 7 days unleavened bread, pure, without leaven, without sin, without contamination. Was the body of Jesus pure and holy? Amen. All right? And that's why he was worthy to die for us as a substitute. Verse 7, "On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it." Verse 9, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it.'" Now, my whole focus to today is that final bit that we've just read. So here we have Jesus as the Passover lamb. We see Jesus as the bread, the pure body of Jesus that was without sin, was crucified, died for us. All right, his body saw no corruption. But here, on the day after the Sabbath, they were to bring a sheaf of the first fruit. So if you can see the picture, sheaf looks something like on the left here. They were to bring a sheaf of their first fruits. Their first fruits meant the first of their harvest, the first ones, the best, the choicest, the number one. Does that make sense? Just a little bit like tithing. We bring our first tenth to the Lord. Okay? So here we have a sheaf of first fruits to the Lord. And note this. When did this happen? It happened on the day after the Sabbath. When is the Sabbath? What day is the Sabbath? Shout it out. What? Saturday. So the day after the Sabbath is Sunday. Jesus rose on the first day of the week, which makes it a Sunday. So this is what I want to say to you here. What is the sheaf of the first fruits? And once we understand this, then we're going to see the hope of the resurrection that we have here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, are you following with me? It's on the screen, verse 20 to 22. I'm asking the question here, what is the feast of the sheaf of the first fruits? And by the way, if we go back to one screen back where the word first fruits, again, the word first fruits is reshit. It's the same word as beginning, like we read in Genesis. In the reshit, God created the heavens and the earth. Here present to me a sheaf of the reshit. Because it means the first, the start, the principle, the beginning, the head. But here we go now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 22. It says this very clearly, and I hope you see this with me, and we're going to just look at Jesus and say, wow, you are beautiful. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So who is the first fruits? Jesus. He has become the first fruits because he is risen, what? He is risen from the dead. He's the first one to rise from the dead. Can you get the idea here? The first among many who's going to rise after him. Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So who are we in today? Are we in Adam or are we in Christ? In Christ. So we are alive because he first rose from the dead. He's the first one to rise from the dead. But because of his resurrection, we all have resurrection. You see this with me here. But note how it says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits. So the first fruits is the first one to rise from the dead. That is Jesus. So what is the sheaf of the first fruits? Christ is that first fruit. Christ is the first one to rise from the dead. Let me read a few verses here really quickly to sort of emphasize this message. Acts chapter 26, verse 23, it says this, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Revelations chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. He is the firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah. Someone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. This is speaking of Jesus. Why don't you verbalize that first verse 15 together? 1, 2, 3. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So can you see the one, one, one? He's the beginning. He's the number one. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's number one. He's the head. He's number one. He has the preeminence. He is number one. First fruits. He's the first to rise from the dead. So we can all have resurrection. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Let's keep reading. All right. It's just good. We just read the verses, right? It's good. You read with me. I want to read together, right? Verse 14, 1, 2, and 3. And to the angels of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. So I ask you a question here. What is the beginning? Observations. Jesus is the first fruits. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Jesus is the Reshit. Jesus is the beginning. He's the beginning of all things. He's the beginning of all creation. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? It's the very person of Christ. So when you say, when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you could say it like this. Of course, it's not. I'm not saying it's the translation, but you can almost kind of see it like this. In the first fruits, God created the heavens and the earth. In the firstborn from the dead, God created the heavens and the earth. In Christ, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that biblical? Is that sound? In Him, all things were made that were made. Nothing was made except through Him. All things were made through Him and for Him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word is God. He is the very beginning. So what I want to say to you, all I want to do is proclaim two things to you this morning. Number one, Jesus is my beginning. Everybody say, Jesus is my beginning. It's very important, isn't it? On Resurrection Sunday, as we remember the risen Lord, we are saying, this is my beginning. He is the beginning, and my beginning starts with Him. Right? Because He's the beginning, Jesus is also my beginning. Now, take a note of this. I've mentioned this in the past, but I'll mention this really in passing here. When God first instituted the feast of Passover, it was right in the middle of the year. And do you know what God did? He said to Moses, wherever they were in the middle of the year, He said, in the middle of the year now, I'm going to proclaim that this month is now going to be your first month. Wow. Can you see this? So it doesn't matter where our calendar begins. We are born in Adam. We're born. We have a human nature. I come from my parents, my mom and my dad. That seems to be my beginning, isn't it? My birth on earth. But Jesus, as the Passover lamb, as God institute the Passover, as we come to Jesus as our Passover lamb, my beginning no longer is of the old. My beginning begins with Him as the Passover lamb. So whatever your calendar, my calendar is, wherever we're from, my calendar, my birthday changes the moment I receive Jesus as my Passover lamb. Amen? But Passover speaks of the death of the lamb. But the sheaf for the first fruit speaks of the resurrection of God. You see this? So I know it's good to talk about the Passover, but it's the death side, isn't it? But the sheaf of the first fruit speaks of the resurrection. And this is what we're focusing here today. So He is my new beginning. So here in this, here, why don't you verbalize this in the next slide here with me, all right? I've put the opposite on the left side. We're not going to mention it. I've put a big cross on it if you press next. And this is not what we are because we have a new beginning in Christ. Say with me, new beginning.
New beginning.
New life.
New man.
Who is the new man? New man is Christ, right? He's the new man. New creation.
New nature.
I have a new spirit.
New heart,
resurrection life. I have light. Amen. And you see this here? So Jesus is the beginning. Jesus is the beginning. He's the beginning of a new life. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. I'm going to say my second point here and then kind of end it with see how we're going to bring in 1 Corinthians 15 here at the end. I want to say this. Number two, God declares my end from the beginning. Say it with me. God declares my end from the beginning. I'm going to read. Let me see if I can find that verse. It's not Genesis. It's Isaiah 46, even though it says Genesis there on the screen. But it's Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Let's verbalize. Let's declare this together. Look at that. 1, 2, 3. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Now, who is speaking here? Very clearly, it is God speaking. What is God saying? He's declaring the end from the beginning. So who is the beginning? In Christ. In Christ, God declares my end. Before the foundations of the world, before I was even formed in my mother's womb, God already determined my end in Christ. Before time, God already saw my end in Christ. So I want to encourage each one of us here today, no matter where we're at, no matter what we've been through, you know, and we look at ourselves and we're like, oh man, I'm not there, I'm far away from the victorious life that Christ has given me. But I want you to be encouraged this morning that Christ sees you and me from the beginning. He declares the end. So I would like to also suggest to you that right in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, very first word, God was already declaring our end. He was already prophesying of the resurrection, the Reshit, the feast of sheaf of first fruit, the firstborn from the dead, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you say amen? So I may not see. I look at my life now. You look at your life now. We seem to be going a pathway here. I can't seem to see the end of it. I can't see how my conclusion all is going to look like. Looks like I'm getting older. I'm aging. I feel weaker maybe, or I feel like this and I feel like that. A bit of pain here and a bit of pain there. But Jesus says, I declare your end from the beginning. So who determines your end? Do we determine our end? No, God determines our end. Right from the very beginning. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our hope is in this Christ, the risen one, the Reshit, the firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah, the risen one. Now let me say this now. Out of saying all of this, what's the conclusion of all of that? Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I don't have it on the screen, so if you have your Bible, or if you can somehow put it up on the screen, we're going to read this. But before we read this, I want to say this. You know, we talk about how, you know, in Christ, God determines my end, right? It's in Christ. I want to sing this, I think it's the fourth stanza of In Christ Alone. Is that right? And if you can help me put In Christ Alone, just the fourth stanza. No guilt in life. I think that's the one I'm after, right? This is what I want to. Just sing it with me, all right? Because he declares my end from the beginning, all right? He sees me. He sees me through Christ. Can you say amen? How do you say, sing this? 1, 2, 3. No guilt in life. No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Let's sing that one more time. No guilt in life. No guilt in... Come on, let's sing it with conviction. Death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Of hell can never pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Hallelujah. He commands my destiny. What is our destiny? Our destiny doesn't end here on this earth once we die. We all believe that we have eternal life now. Do you agree with me? If you believe in Jesus, I'm born of the Spirit. I have resurrection life living in me. But it doesn't end here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 down, 50. And it says this. If you've got your Bible, why don't you turn there? If not, I think it's going to come on the screen soon. But it says this in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Say with me, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But what does it say here? Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. From this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 This mortal will put out immortality. Corruption will put up incorruption. Hallelujah. You say, amen, this is the hope of resurrection. It's not that just Jesus rise from the dead and that's beautiful. I mean, it's essential to our core belief. But the fact that because he rise, because he's the first fruit of the dead, I'm not just alive in the spirit. That is the number one thing we must. But the completion of our salvation is that we will have a redeemed body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and it's the Holy Spirit that gives us life. So I believe that today, as we have declared the resurrection power, the resurrection of hope, okay, that even when we die, when we go to be with the Lord, this is not the end, because all will be raised. All will rise. The dead in Christ will rise first. And those who are alive on that day when the last trumpet, they will be with the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the resurrection hope that we have in Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to say this. I want you to verbalize this with me as I conclude. We're going to declare who Jesus is. All right. So he's the Rashid. He's the beginning. He's the Rashid. He's the first fruits. He's the Rashid. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the Rashid, he's the resurrection from the dead. And because of his resurrection, I have resurrection. His body was raised, our body is also raised. And you say amen? Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And hopefully now you can see that when we showed the videos at the start of people who are handicapped, yet they still worship God. But they believe in the hope of the resurrection. This is the resurrection of the body we're talking about here. And this is a promise that God has given to all the believers. Hallelujah. We've been sealed with this promise that we shall receive this redemption of the body. Hallelujah. Say with me, Jesus is the beginning.
Jesus is the beginning.
Jesus is the first.
Jesus is the first.
Jesus is the head.
Jesus
is the first fruits.
Jesus is the first
fruits. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Jesus is the resurrection and the life.
Jesus is the,
Jesus is the beginning of the new man.
Jesus is the beginning
of new life. So Jesus is our beginning.
Amen.
It's the beginning of a new life. It's the beginning of a new nature. It's the beginning of a completely different, it's a new creation in Christ. We are. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we worship you this morning.